It's Focus West Michigan for Friday, February 13, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. In local news, Grand Valley State University has released its annual West Michigan Healthcare Report. WGVU's David Limbaugh explains how its findings compare with the rest of the nation.
The annual Health Check Report analyzes health trends in Kent, Ottawa, Muskegon, and Allegan counties and compares it with national data. Grand Valley State University visiting professor of economics Cody Kirby says West Michigan healthcare organizations attract and retain employees at rates above the national average, but the incomes of those workers have not kept pace with the national average.
I also offer it as a warning shot, which is, how long can we get away with doing that? Our wage expectations or our wage growth, how long can that not keep pace with the national average, and yet we still keep attracting and retaining talent better than average?
When it comes to patient care, Associate Economics Professor Daniel Montanera notes the average length of stay in a West Michigan hospital has gone up from an average of 5 days to just under 6.5 days, a 23% increase in 2 years.
Sometimes this is on the health insurers. They might be choosy about which facility to discharge a patient to, you know, trying to direct them or steer them to low-cost facilities. And sometimes it's on the supply side that in nursing facilities are having difficulty staffing.
I'm David Limbaugh.
West and Southwest Michigan's manufacturing economies continued their softening trend for a third straight month. WGVU's Patrick Center breaks down the January Supply Chain Management Research Survey.
Purchasing managers from West and Southwest Michigan report their January new orders and production levels remain soft. The ongoing tariff wars are weighing on local manufacturers.
For some of our survey respondents, they remain a major problem and a significant inhibitor of growth.
Brian G. Long is Director of Supply Chain Management Research in the Seidman College of Business at Grand Valley State University. He points out Michigan has the fifth highest unemployment rate in the nation.
And there's been numerous factors that have slowed the Michigan economy. For instance, we ran into bad luck overestimating the number of EVs we were going to build. And locally, the office furniture business has slowed but not collapsed, but it finds itself redefining itself. More importantly, though, we are getting complaints that the business climate in Michigan has worsened in recent years.
The January survey did reveal business confidence is significantly positive. The short-term business outlook also returned to positive territory, and the 3 to 5 year outlook is significantly higher. I'm Patrick Center.
Michigan drivers are being urged to stay safe and alert over the Valentine's Day weekend. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
AAA is urging drivers to stay safe as they plan for Valentine's Day outings. They say as more couples go out for romantic dinners, parties, and late-night outings, officials expect an increase in dangerous driving behaviors. Adrienne Woodland, spokesperson for AAA, the Auto Club Group, says, quote, "A Saturday holiday is likely to bring heavier traffic, more celebrations, and a higher risk of impaired and distracted driving." She adds, "If your evening includes drinks or you know the night will be busy and distracting, plan your ride ahead of time," end quote. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, more than 3,000 people were killed in distracted driving crashes in 2023. AAA encourages drivers to program the GPS before leaving, ask a passenger to help with directions, and to slow down in busy areas. They also urge residents to designate a sober driver and use ride shares or taxis. I'm Jennifer Moss.
And the Grand Rapids Public Museum's historic carousel has returned today after a 2-year closure. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us it's been refurbished and upgraded for greater accessibility.
The 1928 Spillman Carousel is one of 3 all-wood carousels still in operation. And now, nearly a century later, it's accessible to everyone.
Just the experience of the inclusivity of the new carousel was a really cool experience.
21-year-old Kyle Fryer uses a wheelchair to get around. He says the Spillman Carousel enhancements, which include a chariot designed to allow individuals using mobility devices, is special.
Yeah, I think just the history of this carousel being part of the public museum for so long, I mean, just the history of Grand Rapids just draws people to downtown.
The Cook Carousel Pavilion has been closed for the past 2 years, receiving upgrades. It now has a covered heated walkway, sound baffling systems for riders with noise sensitivities, and every wooden carousel animal has been refurbished. Repainted by hand, says museum exhibits manager Stevie Horniak.
That started in 2020. We have about 50 57 figures and we're down to only 14 left. So it takes about 300 hours to do an animal at a time. We had to get all of the old car paint off and go all the way down to bare wood, make the repairs, and then repaint them with water-based paint.
I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up, new movie releases. WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf speaks with Zach Righetti from Studio C about this weekend's openings. In state news, Michigan environmental advocates are worried about the federal government repealing a scientific finding on greenhouse gas emissions. Colin Jackson has more.
In what's known as the endangerment finding, scientists found greenhouse gas emissions were a threat to public health. The conclusion from 2009 formed the basis for regulations on pollution sources like vehicles and power plants. Bentley Johnson is with the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. He says policymakers need to take threats to the environment seriously as climate change brings severe weather.
We've had three $1 billion severe flooding events in Michigan over the last decade that's caused almost $16 billion in damages, 9 deaths, you know, so many people losing their basements and having raw sewage back up into their homes.
The Trump administration says rolling back the finding and related regulations would save money and stimulate the auto industry. I'm Colin Jackson.
Both Congress and the courts are examining President Trump's extensive use of tariffs. This story from WDET's Quinn Kleinfelcher. The Federal Reserve says U.S. companies and consumers are bearing almost all of the higher costs stemming from tariffs. Detroit's automakers and others in Michigan criticize tariffs for increasing the price of doing business. The U.S. House recently voted to end Trump's emergency tariffs against Canada, and the U.S. Supreme Court may rule on whether Trump can legally use the levies. Now, a new report by the Federal Reserve finds that companies and customers in the U.S. are paying 90% of the extra costs created by tariffs, though one member argues the economic impact has been, quote, quite muted. Economists predict tariffs will be a one-time expense and still increase the overall cost of living in the U.S. The GEO Group, a private prison operator, reported $254 million in profits last year, up from $32 million in 2024. The company operates Michigan's North Lake Processing Center, the Midwest's largest immigration detention facility. The facility closed in 2022 and reopened last summer as an immigration detention facility. In a call with investors, Executive Chairman George Zuli cited GEO Group's new contracts with last year's profit numbers.
The census across our active ICE facilities has continued to steadily increase from the third quarter at approximately 22,000 to presently approximately 24,000, which is the highest level of ICE populations we've ever had.
GEO Group entered 4 new contracts to house ICE detainees last year, totaling about 6,000 additional beds. That is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. Wuthering Heights in theaters this week, a new adaptation of the classic Gothic romance from Emily Bronte. Also, Crime 101 has opened, a crime thriller based on the story by Don Winslow. Plus, there is a new animated family picture and a wild sci-fi drama opening. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf talks with Zach Righetti from Studio C about this week's slate of new movies.
And we have another version of Wuthering Heights based on the classic novel by Emily Bronte, starring Frankenstein's monster Jacob Elordi and Margot Robbie. And I've heard that this is kind of an extravagant, very melodramatic adaptation of the novel. I've also heard that it doesn't really follow the novel completely, but what are you hearing? Have you seen it, Zach? And if not, what are you hearing about it?
Yeah, I actually have seen this one. I will say what I've heard. So Emerald Fennell, who did Saltburn, who's the director behind this film, she loves Wuthering Heights, loved the book. And so the actual poster for this film and even like not the title, you know, on like websites and stuff, but from the poster perspective, Wuthering Heights sort of sits in quotation marks because she loves the book so much, but didn't think that she could adapt it to its fullest extent. And so there's some creative liberties that are sort of taken from her, but because she just knew that she couldn't make the film that she wanted to make, so she just kind of, it's sort of like, you know, her love letter to the book that she does love. Yeah, I mean, it's Wuthering Heights. If you know the story, you will know this movie. Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi going, getting up close and personal in this one. So it's 66% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I think it's a perfect Valentine's Day movie for this weekend. And it's good to have.
Well, what did you think in terms of what was your experience with it?
I genuinely really enjoyed this film. I think the pacing felt really well. And even just like their performances and, knowing sort of like how, you know, the book ends and all that stuff and sort of like how they, what they changed in this one. For me, I didn't have sort of any issues with it. But I can also see how someone who maybe enjoys, the book or loves the book might not love this movie as much if they wanted more of like a traditional adaptation of the book into the movie. But I think like Jacob Elordi and Margot Robbie's chemistry on screen is also like really well done and like really well performed. And I think the cinematography is fantastic. And you get sort of a little bit of that Saltburn like flavor in it too. And I think it's a fun time.
All right. And then also another adaptation, literary adaptation from a modern piece of work, and that's Crime 101, starring Chris Hemsworth, Monica Barbaro, Halle Berry, and also Mark Ruffalo. This is based on a novella called Crime 101 by Don Winslow. It's part of a collection of stories called Broken. And this particular novella, I read it and I loved it. I love all of Don Winslow's work. And it really reminded me, even though he has his own style in terms of crime fiction, it really seemed like a tribute to a great Michigan writer, Elmore Leonard, who's had many, many both mystery crime novels adapted to the cinema, but also was a great Western writer and had many adaptations of his Western novels. And this really feels like a tribute to his way of mixing both humor and character with the crimes. And so what are you hearing? Have you seen this, Zach? And if not, what are you hearing about it?
Yeah, I think, what's wonderful about this is the reflection on the characters, as you were saying. Like, I have seen it, and I think there's a lot of development. Like, there is a lot of character development. Like, each character is sort of treated individually throughout the film. And so you not only really come to understand each one of them, because they all are a part of the story. It's not just like Chris Hemsworth's story and everyone else is sort of supporting. It is each and every one of their stories, and they're all just crossing paths along the way. And that's kind of the fun part about it. And yeah, I mean, for those that don't know, Chris Hemsworth essentially is, sort of this elusive thief who pinpoints big hits on like some diamonds being, moved across the city. And that's where he sort of hits them. But he hits it sort of all along the 101 in Los Angeles. And so Mark Ruffalo, who is a detective, and he is sort of like tracking down and he's like, everyone doesn't really believe him. He's got this whole theory about how there's this robber on the 101 and looking at that kind of stuff. And so it's like him trying to also prove his case. And then you've got Halle Berry, who plays this sort of like insurance broker for well-off people who have these high-valued pieces of art and other diamond things, and they insure those pieces. And so it's just sort of like how all of their paths cross along the way. And it's a fun sort of like crime thriller. I mean, it is a thriller. It's not as action-packed as probably you might think, but it is a fun time.
Also opening is Goat, which is a sports-related comedy.
Yeah, it's the first animated film of the year, believe it or not. It only took till February, but we've had Zootopia and David from the holiday season, but Goat, produced and starring Stephen Curry, also Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things. David Harbour's in this as well as a character. It's this this small goat named Will, who wants his shot at sort of the big leagues of basketball, and you know, kind of the outcast, and how do you sort of like pick yourself up and, you know, be the best that you can be, and also be supported by like the team around you who also have very specific skills. And so you've got like, you know, you got a bunch of different animals in, on the team, you know, if it's a giraffe or if it's a jaguar or stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun to have, I think, not only just like this, an animated film for the year, but also just like, you know, a fun sports animated film.
Also opening is Gore Verbinski, the director, returning to the big screen with Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, with Sam Rockwell playing a very unhinged character, claiming to be from the future. And this looks like a lot of fun.
This is a ride, Scott.
Oh, so you've seen it.
I've seen this one. This one is sitting at, and I think it's 86% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes with an audience score of 88%. And yeah, Gore coming back, you know, for context, directed Rango, directed the first three Pirates of the Caribbean films. Sam Rockwell, it literally, like, the movie opens and it just kind of puts its foot on the gas and doesn't let up. So he is from the future and essentially is here to tell people that the world is screwed and is going to be taken over by some sort of like AI, you know, intelligence technology piece. You know, people are already doom scrolling on their phones. It just is like a literally wild time from start to finish. So that's how it opens. And he's essentially recruiting people from this diner to go on a journey with him, to save the world. And it's like, he's already done it like 100 times. And so he knows like every single person in that diner because he's tried this like random different version of it over 100 times. And so, yeah, you get to, in the middle of it, kind of in, know where each of these characters are kind of coming from. It sort of backtracks to give you a little bit of their history, but then, you know, keeps pushing forward. And the world that they exist in is just bonkers. And yeah, like if you just want to go in and have just a wild time, but also just like an unexpected, just go on a journey, this is the movie for you. And so it's a great time. It's also got Michael Pena in it, Zazie Beetz, Juno Temple are all in it. Those are sort of the supporting cast. And who doesn't love Sam Rockwell? And Sam Rockwell also being like unhinged. I think that's my favorite version of Sam Rockwell. But yeah, this film is a fun time.
And also playing now in wider release is The Moment, which we had talked about earlier.
Yeah, the Charlie XCX mockumentary. And yeah, you can, it's basically everywhere at this point for this weekend. So it's a fun slate to have. There's a little bit of everything for everyone this Valentine's Day. It's just good to have a good mix. And I enjoy having that. So.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
And that's Focus West Michigan for Friday, February 13, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling. Patrick Center is WGBU's News and Public Affairs Director. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.